my voice, either via the World Wide Web or through one of our great GCN radio affiliate stations out there. In either case, it means it's now time, friends, for INN World Report Radio. INN, by the way, stands for International News Net. INN is a group of media activists here in New York City on the west side of Lower Manhattan, just about a half a mile north of Ground Zero. And we are dedicated to bringing you real news the networks won't tell you. We've been doing it now for 10 years. This is, I guess, February sort of marked our 10th anniversary for doing this work. And it's our firm and fervent belief that bringing the American people more and wider, a more and wider spectrum of information than is available in the corporate-owned and controlled media is a vital element in getting this country back on track again, back to an ethical and moral position in the world, excuse me, that it does not seem to have held for some time yet now, and also to get the quality of our lives back together again as well, which have been deteriorating sorely. I like to say, friends, that every day we are being tested. Another chink comes out of our armor, out of our separations of powers and so forth, and we are tested every day with yet another slip down that nasty slope. And so that's what we're going to try to do here, is to test ourselves, prepare for that test that we get every day, and let's start turning this situation around. International News Net, and today we are going to live up to the international part of our name. Our guest today is Birgitta Jonsdottir from the Icelandic Parliament, the Alþingi it's called in Iceland. She's been on the program before. We haven't talked to her in a few months, so I thought it would be a good time to catch up with her. In Iceland, you may know, there has been a sort of a people power revolution, as it were. They had a rude awakening in Iceland after being hoodwinked by the neocons who came to town a few years ago and, you know, sold their snake oil, the kind that they've been selling here in this country, and being the Pied Piper and telling everybody that we're in a new era now, that the rules no longer apply, okay, that things can go up indefinitely. We don't have to have regulations anymore for our banks and so forth. And so they deregulated the banks, and they made all kinds of incestuous bank deals. And as you probably know now, it resulted in a horrible collapse of their banking system, which ushered in a bit of a revolution in Iceland, and a lot of alternative candidates were swept into office, and that includes our guest today, Birgitta. And we've been talking with her about the banksters wanting to be paid back in London and in Amsterdam, or in Rotterdam. I'm not sure what the capital is of Holland. I guess it's Amsterdam. But in any case, the Netherlands and Great Britain. So embarrassed were these two governments by allowing their citizens to invest in these terrible internet banking schemes that the neocons brought into Iceland that they reimbursed their citizens for their losses and are trying to come after the Icelandic people about it. And the president of Iceland said no, he did not sign the bill. So that's going to be very interesting to have a referendum about that. But also, you know, you may be familiar with the WikiLeaks story that came out earlier this week with the press conference on Monday. It is certainly resonating around the world, and there's more and more to that story now. We were just reporting at our top of the hour news break about the families claiming that they have not been in any way compensated for their horrible loss. Not that you can compensate people, but when you murder, it looks like, it certainly looks like one of the people at least was murdered in cold blood as he was being carried into a van which was going to take him to hospital, perhaps to save his life. In any case, when you remove the breadwinner of a family like that and so forth, that, you know, the family expects, I suppose, some kind of recognition for that and to be dealt with. That's not happening. In any case, the WikiLeaks story we can talk about in a moment. In Iceland, they've determined that part of the problem is the corporate media being having such a narrow focus and not reporting on corporate crime, not reporting on government crime. And so they've determined in Iceland that a great step forward would be to make Iceland a safe haven for people around the world who wish to leak information that needs to be shared, that needs to be known, for the democratic process to thrive. So they've been working together with WikiLeaks to do that, a sort of a Switzerland of bytes or bits in the digital world. So we're going to ask Brigitte about that initiative as well. So that's what's coming up. You can give me a call, 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. Anything that's on your mind, open phones, and there's a lot of interesting things in the news right now that we could talk about, I suppose. I think this quick story that we just put out there that I think it was Fox did a poll, it looks like, and I guess they are trying to find out. Well, it's being reported here in the in thinkprogress.com, and the Center for American Progress senior fellows and co-directors John Halpern and Rui Teixeira, it looks like, they've done a poll here, or they're reporting now that a new Fox News poll, I should say, shows that the Tea Parties are viewed less favorably, get this, friends, than the IRS. What? The Tea Parties are viewed less favorably around the country than the IRS. Barack Obama has a 50% favorable rating. The Democratic Party has a 49% favorable rating in this poll. The IRS, I should say, has a 49%, rather. The Democratic Party has a 42%. The Republican Party has a 40%. And the Tea Parties come in after that at 36%. The rest of the field is Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and John Boehner, who comes in at 12. So I thought that was a kind of an interesting story there. In any case, what do you think? 866-582-9933. Have you seen the video that was released by WikiLeaks? It's clear the military is not denying its authenticity. The military is coming out and saying, yes, that's what it's really the gunship camera from these Apache helicopters. I think there was two of them that were circling the neighborhood of New Baghdad back in July of 2007. And by the way, Rick Rowley, who actually used to be here right in our building in INN here, he's an independent filmmaker. He was in Baghdad at the time, and the very next day he went to the site, and he's got some footage of the shot-up van, and he interviewed some of the people. They didn't even realize at first that the incidents were connected. It's available on the web. If you search for it, I'll try to find a link for you. But it's fascinating to listen to him interviewing the people who were there and who lost loved ones. They claimed, the civilians that lived in the area claimed, that when the Bradley fighting vehicle rolled over one of the bodies, the guy was not dead yet. Okay, that's what the interview shows. They're claiming that the guy was trying to crawl away. I suppose it's quite prudent to lie still on the ground as if you were dead if you've got a helicopter that's firing on unarmed civilians. Now, to be clear, it looked like one or two of these 8 to 12 Iraqi civilians were carrying AK-47s, the Kalashnikov rifle. Two of them, I could recognize one. Now, that is not illegal in Iraq, as far as I know, and it's particularly necessary in the state of affairs that has been left in the vacuum of power after Saddam has been removed. So to see some people milling around, two of which have an AK-47, I don't think entitles us to just light them up, as the helicopter pilot said. Anyway, stay tuned. Birgitta Jonsdottir will be with us from Iceland, from the parliament in Iceland. We're going to be talking about making an information safe haven there with her just after this.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, every Monday through Friday right here on the Great GCN Radio Network, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we bring you news the networks won't tell you, and that's certainly what we're going to do now with our guest, Birgitta Hjonsdottir, all the way from Iceland. She's a member of the Icelandic Parliament, the Alþingi in Iceland. And for those of you who've listened to the program before, you've heard Birgitta, and we're just thrilled to have her on for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that, in my opinion anyway, she's part of a people power movement that's going on in Iceland. And I think we really need to know as much as we can about something like that, because we need a lot of that right here. Birgitta, welcome back to INN World Report Radio.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, if you don't mind, I would like to try to cover two things in this interview. If you've got a third or a fourth, please let me know. But I'd like an update from you, if we can, about the situation with the struggle, whether or not the banksters from Great Britain and the Netherlands are going to have their way and are going to exact payment from the Icelandic people, number one, the bailout, and number two, the latest on the initiative to make Iceland the Switzerland of information and a free haven for people who want to break important news without retaliation.
All right. Actually, it is a very interesting situation developing right now, because we are finally getting the so-called fact-finding report from the Truth Commission about who is responsible for the collapse. It will be published to the nation and parliamentarians at the same time, 10 o'clock Monday morning. I'm actually on the committee that's going to be dealing with the facts that will be revealed in the report. So we might have to call together a special court to rule over some of the ex-ministers. However, the most, I'm not really, that's not, you know, why I'm excited to be in the committee. I'm more excited about actually creating legislation that will prevent anything like this to happen ever again in Iceland. When it comes to the banksters, every day there are news that manage to outrage people so much about how incredibly ruthless and, almost psychopathic behavior, the way they have behaved when it's been revealed how they basically vacuum cleaned the banks from inside before the collapse was. So I don't know, like, for example, last week it was revealed, like, one of them owns the biggest media corporation in Iceland, and it went bust, so his wife somehow managed to buy it, but they still owe billions of Icelandic kronas. It is just so bizarre that they still get away with it. So they have actually gotten back in, they're back on their feet. They have had huge write-offs. And still have all their luxuries, are all technically bankrupt, but are still owning everything except the banks. But they might actually own something in the banks, because we don't know who are reclaiming the banks from the government, because the banks were taken back into national holding and ownership when the collapse was, but now they're going back to private. It is just
That's the cycle, isn't it?
This is happening in Iceland. You know, I was just at the British Parliament speaking with some parliamentarians there in the Foreign Affairs Committee, and we all agreed that it is completely bizarre that the world has not learned anything from the collapse. Everything is back to the same horrifying business of totally unethical banksters owning back everything and in the same system. It's just outrageous.
Birgitta, a couple of observations, and you're in the thick of it more than we are here in the States, perhaps. But number one, you know, that the work ethic of working hard and putting your money in the bank, and then the bankers taking your money and lending it back out prudently, and everybody gets loans and everybody gets working and so forth, that seems to be totally gone with a new work ethic, which is just steal as much as you can.
Yeah.
And I don't know, pocket it and put it in your Swiss bank accounts or whatever, you know, and then just wait until we the people build the health of the economy back up again, and then go right back at it again.
Yeah, but the only way to stop it is for people to stop allowing themselves to be conned this way again and again and again. Because the politicians are not going to change it. We have to change it.
And the other thing, it seems to me, is that also you guys are falling victim maybe to this cycle where you have a nationalized resource.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes the object of rip-off artists who then want to privatize it, and then they'll drain all the profit out of it, and then they want to turn it back over again to become an orphan of the state, and the state has to bring it back to health, and then they're going to go come back and be the vampire all over again.
Yeah, but like I say, you know, there's not going to be any change in our world unless the people will make the change happen. So if people are outraged, they are going to have to change the way they do their daily business. You know, it's like if people are outraged by some company, why do people still do business with them? If you know what I mean? If people are outraged the way the banks behave, why don't they create co-op banks or something? There is always alternatives, but we just have to do it ourselves. Nobody else is going to do it for us.
Here in the States, we'll call that a credit union, where people get together to put their money together and they become their own bank, as
mm-hmm.
it were. And I think that's a very healthy alternative. You know, Birgitta, there's this incredible tradition in Northern Europe, you know, in the Scandinavian tradition, where the just intrepid people that travel across the world in the small ships, and Iceland being a way station along the way, all the way back to the United States or until Canada and so forth, wasn't the United States in those days. And, you know, it harkens back to even a pre-medieval condition. It occurs to me that this kind of behavior is kind of a pretty ancient, almost like a piracy,
mm-hmm.
and has no place in the modern, complicated, interconnected world, does it? It seems like we don't need a revolution. We need an enlightenment. We need to bring the human race up to finally shake off this, you know, this idea of just plunder. What do you think?
Yes, yeah, I agree. However, what I have come to realize after I started to work in Parliament, because I guess I was a bit naive, I actually thought people wanted the tools in order to go and create the society they wanted to live in. What I realized is that most people, they just don't care. They want to entrust their own personal power into somebody else. And that is usually leaders that are very good at deceiving people before elections. It's unfortunate, but it just seems to be the reality, and I'm not sure what the solution is to that.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit of it and kick some ideas around about that? Plus, I do want to go to the whole WikiLeaks situation and the informational initiative there in Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, we're
yes.
speaking with Birgitta Hjonsdóttir in Iceland, in Reykjavik, from the Icelandic Parliament, the Althingi there. We're going to be back with Birgitta just after this.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, Monday through Friday, right here on the Great GCN Radio Network, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we bring you news the networks won't tell you, and that is certainly what we're doing today with our guest, Birgitta Hjonsdóttir, from the Icelandic Parliament, the Althingi, in Iceland. And Birgitta, we were talking on the break, just to catch our listeners up, because there's so many people that listen to this network that are so concerned about banksters and bailouts and the lack of regulation and getting ripped off and then, you know, having we the people have to pay it back. You guys were threatened in Iceland that they made this shady deal, the Brits and the Dutch. They were, I guess, embarrassed that they allowed their citizens to fall prey to this scheme. And so they paid their own citizens back, and now they're leaning on the Icelanders to pay the money back, and the president stood up and did the right thing. He vetoed the bill. That went back to the Icelandic people. There was a referendum, then the Icelandic people did what? They stood up and said what?
We said, well, 93% of the nation said no. The others, probably a large portion from that, from our person that was working at the polls, there were errors in it. So I guess maybe 2% said yes. In the meantime, we actually got a negotiator from the U.S., which me and others in the opposition have been lobbying to get. His name is Lee Buchheit. And he's been fantastic in helping us dealing with the Dutch and the UK. What happened was that we were negotiating with them, but they made this incredible decision to say this is our final and best offer. So, of course, we had to say no, because in the final and best offer, they were only offering to lower the interest. They were actually going to try to make money out of the interest. They put such high interest on something, actually, that was money that was moved within the British budget ministry or and labeled Icelandic nation should pay this. Now, the Icelandic nation never knew, or most of us didn't know about this bank in the UK that offered high interest, so people that actually put their money in there were taking a risk. I'm not saying it is right for the banksters to steal it, but I think it is wrong for the Icelandic people to pay for reckless behavior of the banksters. What was interesting when we were dealing with the UK and the Dutch was that some of the Icelandic leadership actually claimed that if we would not do as the British and the Dutch wanted us to do, that we would have another economic apocalypse and we would become isolated and become like, you know,
the pariah of the world, the sky would fall in on Iceland.
And people, some of the people from the governmental parties actually believed this. And we in the opposition that had been fighting it, and some of the parliamentarians in the left Greens, which is one of the governmental parties, were giving extremely hard time of fighting back. And then when we said no, nothing happened. There was no apocalypse. We're actually in a better shape after saying no than if we would have said yes and accepted an unbearable burden that would have put us into even a deeper financial crisis. However, you know how these rating companies operate. They have been really going against us. So they've lowered our rating standards into rubbish. But the apocalypse is still not here, you know, and that should be a strong message to all other people who have been conned into bailing out the banksters, that, okay, let them collapse. Just let it collapse.
They well, that's supposed to be the capitalist system, isn't it, Birgitta?
Exactly.
You know, if you're prudent and you do the right thing and you watch your P's and Q's, then you make money and you deserve to make money. If you go to and gamble it, if you go to Las Vegas with it, well, then you're going to go out of business. But that's
exactly
how the system stays healthy, that the rotten wood does just that, gets rotten and falls away, and the healthy businesses remain. But we want to turn all of that on its head. And I think it's fascinating. If I can summarize, it sounds like what you're saying is at least 93% of the population of Iceland said, heck no, we're not going to pay these banksters back. And it may even be more than that. As you say, there was some maybe issues counting the votes, and you were threatened, you were frightened, people tried to scare you into believing that if you didn't capitulate to these usurious rates that the Brits wanted to charge you guys, that the world was going to come to an end. And in fact, it looks like the world would have come to an end if you took the British deal, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it just goes to show that there is always another way. There is never just one way of dealing with things. As a matter of fact, there are thousands of ways how to deal with things, and I think it is extremely important to listen to all the advice and all the ideas that are coming from various people from around the world about how we need to change our financial systems in general and how we need to look into. I mean, I think it is extremely bizarre if you look how the banks function. Okay, you give somebody a loan, and because you give somebody a loan, you can get more credit in the bank. As a bankster, based on a loan, it's just doesn't make any sense. It sort of creates all these bubbles, and how the bubble system was created in the States and the repercussions it had because of all these toxic bonds or whatever it's called, and how you're still suffering because of that, because of the bailout, because the banksters did not do the right thing when they got the bailout money because they are unethical the way they behave. They are just not capable of behaving in an honest way around money. They are gamblers at heart.
Well, it seems like one of the reasons why they fought so hard to try to force you guys into this bad deal is because they maybe didn't want the world to see that there's other ways of dealing with it than the ways that makes them rich. And I think
there were actually really interesting leaks coming out of the and it was the first time ever that there were actually leaks coming out of an American embassy. And there were leaks coming out that were published on WikiLeaks from the U.S. Embassy in Iceland where they were discussing ISIS. And it was interesting how they were collaborating, the British and the U.S. forces, in order to try to stop us from having this referendum. And it was interesting, I also heard and have confirmation, I don't know if your listeners are aware of what the Paris Club is, but the Paris Club is very much like the Bilderberg Group, but it is more official. It is a group of the richest nations which meet, and you don't know, you cannot find anywhere who meets who there, just the names of the nations, and they are the ones that make the decision of the interest rates for the indebted, in particularly third world countries.
And this is, by the way, on money that they just create out of thin air as well,
yes.
Right?
I mean, yeah. And you know, interest rates on poor nations is criminal. Because, you know, then the poor nations are only going to be paying interest of debt that they, it's really rare that the nation themselves created the debt. It was their dictators that usually created the debt, and then they leave the debt burden on the nation.
Dictators which created the debt in exchange for access for people to rifle the country of its natural resources,
exactly,
is the way it usually goes. Brigitte, I don't want to run out of time, so can we talk now? The other part of this problem that you folks in Iceland became aware of is that, you know, where was the media to warn everybody about this impending catastrophe? Okay, we had that here in this country, but we've had it with a lot of other issues in this country as well. Where was the media when we were being lied to, for instance, about the reasons why we should be going to war in Iraq? But you guys had that right there in Iceland as well, and I think you came up with an incredible solution for that, which is to create an information haven in Iceland. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how that initiative is going?
Yes, okay. I'll just explain briefly what the initiative is about, because I think it's actually a very beautiful idea and brilliant in its sense. So we decided to create a proposal to task the government to make Iceland take leadership in bringing together all the best possible legislation from around the world in one holistic package called...
Actually, Brigitte, we're going up on break, so why don't you hold it right there and we'll continue. Friends, we're speaking with Brigitte Hjonsdóttir from the Icelandic Parliament, where there are just some amazing things going on. We'll be right back with her just after this. America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio, news talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon-free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to innworldreport.net.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio. Monday through Friday right here on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time. We bring you, or at least we try very hard to bring you real news the networks won't tell you, and that's what we're doing today happily. International news with our friend in Iceland, Birgitta Jónsdóttir, member of the Icelandic Althingi, the Parliament of Iceland. And Birgitta, actually, we have one of our callers on the line with a question. Do you mind if we take a call?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Doug in Tennessee, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Tom and Birgitta. I was listening to you describing the problem, and it you're hitting all around it, but the fundamental problem is that you've got a debt money system just like we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the government issuing the currency in accordance to the production of the country and therefore creating wealth, you've got a debt money system where you borrow it from the bank, and the bank actually issues the currency, and then you'll always end up with more debt than is possibly payable, just like here in the United States. But in order to do that, you got to pull out of the euro. You've got to have your own currency.
We're not in the euro yet, so.
What's
thank
that?
God. We don't have a euro yet, so.
Oh, you're not. You don't have euro? I thought.
No, Iceland is not in the euro yet. They're kind of in a special category where they're sort of half in and half out. But, you know, Birgitta, Doug makes the point. I mean, I guess there's a two-stage solution here. The first stage, I guess, is stop the bleeding and this crazy bailout stuff. And then it's a much more fundamental approach on, you know, the fractional reserve system and creating money, like Doug says, out of debt rather than the other way around, monetizing, you know, something other than debt. And, of course, right, Doug, they only produce the principal. They don't produce the interest, so it's never going to be
right.
able to be paid back, right?
It's fraudulent right from the get-go, and it puts your country in bondage right from the get-go. And if you get on a debt-free money system, you may have a lot of people immigrating to your country.
I know. I'll be investing heavily. Doug, why don't you hang on the line and give my producer your name and address. I'll be happy to send you out a book for calling in. Birgitta, would you respond to that, please?
Yeah, I totally agree. We've been looking into, or me and my group have been looking into, you know, what other alternatives are there. And there's a lot of people all over the world coming up with, you know, different ideas on how to get out of the traditional debt-created system of banking. And I think that it is time maybe that we have like a global conference or something about, you know, new ways of dealing with the financial sector and the banking system. So I hope that we're actually thinking of doing this, to have an international conference about that. We're just talking about it at a group meeting yesterday.
That'll be absolutely amazing. Yet another way that Iceland can lead the world and help us. But let's thank you very much about that call, Doug. And like I said, give your address to my producer, Rachel, and I'll be happy to send you out a book. But Birgitta, we only have a few minutes left. Can we go back to the information-free zone that you want to create there in Iceland? That's really fascinating. And WikiLeaks is one of the groups that you're working with on this. And, of course, the blockbuster of their press conference and the videotape that they released on Monday. What can you tell us about that initiative?
Okay, so I was at a conference in Reykjavik with them and giving a speech at the same time as they were giving a speech. And they were talking about this concept of Switzerland of bytes, which would be sort of the total reverse of the tax havens around the world. It would be a haven for transparency. So the idea is to take the best possible legislation from around the world. Actually, we're trying to change 13 different laws in Iceland from three different ministries in order to ensure the freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and freedom of information. And the reason why we're looking at the best legislation all in a package is that the legislation, for example, in Sweden about the safety of IP hosts is very strong and has proven itself to be strong enough against the legal attacks of the big corporations. There's very good legislation in Belgium about whistleblowers and sources. There's a very good legislation in the United States, which is called the First Amendment. However, you have a legal system that makes it very difficult for smaller presses to fight against the big corporations, even if you have a good legislation in that regard. So we're trying to pull out the best legislations in order to create or modernize the laws about information and media, because most legislation around these fundamental principles and fundamental rights is not based on the reality we live in today. And the reality we live in today is that information has no borders anymore, and it is, most of it is actually stored on the internet. So we need to modernize the whole legal framework around these fundamental rights. And every day, these fundamental rights are being eroded. Every day we're losing the battle, so we have to fight back for this. We have to fight back to ensure that there is at least one place in the world where other countries or other organizations and media can come and feel safe about, for example, hosting investigative journalism. And probably the country that is the worst off in this regard is the UK, because they have something called super injunctions. And that means, and they have about 300 of these. And these super injunctions mean if it's placed on a journalist, he cannot tell that he is being gagged. Or why?
So it's a gag order on a journalist who cannot say to everyone, hey, I'm a journalist who's under a gag order.
Exactly. Can you
Unbelievable.
Imagine that is so bad? So I've
sounds like Saddam Hussein or something.
Pardon?
It sounds more like Saddam Hussein than Great Britain.
Or this 1984 reality. I don't know if your listeners
yes,
are
of
aware
course.
Of that book, but Britain has become just a spitting image of that book.
Yep.
It is horrible. No other country monitors their civilians as much as the British. And one of the good things about working with WikiLeaks in this regard, and they've been extremely helpful, and they actually spent some of them, one of them was here for 1.5 months, Julian Assange, and another one was here for a month, and then they brought in a whole team of legal experts and experts in data centers and so forth. And so we actually managed to create an incredibly strong proposal, and I got members from all the parties in the parliament to join us on this proposal, and 3-party group chairmen out of 5 parties. So we are quite optimistic that we can task the government with this in May. It will take about a year for all the laws to be changed. So it's quite exciting, and it's actually gained an international spotlight, because if there is any group of people that understand the importance of this, it's journalists.
Well, Birgitta, you know, I think it's an amazing story, because here you are swept in as an activist into parliament. And I tell you, if this is not an example of one person being able to make a difference, you know, the fact that you're there and that you're open-minded. Now, I don't mean to say that you're the only person driving this initiative, but from what I know about you, you're the kind of person that you want to have there if somebody comes up with an idea like this. And it's just a great confluence of events that you folks are in a position to lead the whole world into a new informational era.
Well, I hope that, well, at least it has already become an inspiration for other countries. The Minister of Culture in Germany was talking about that they needed similar legislation. Plus, it has created a dialogue, a very much needed dialogue about the situation of information and how the historical records in the news are being altered and changed and falsified, because news are constantly being pulled out because of legal threats. So this is extremely important to raise the awareness of the real situation we're living in. Plus, all it's now becoming more and more common that countries actually block websites such as WikiLeaks. and I find, and why I'm so fascinated with, for example, WikiLeaks, is that it is actually changing the way we experience news and the world, and it's changing the events of world affairs.
Well, I can tell you, Birgitta, since my association with you, I've been watching out for this, and I was all ready for that WikiLeaks press conference. And I've been talking about it on all my shows. I've been dealing with all my fellow alternative media activists about it. I've been calling into radio programs. And it is creating quite an impact already. And that's just the first of what I hope are many, many more such revelations to come.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much, Birgitta. And we'll check in with you again a little further down the road.
All right,
good friends. That was Birgitta Hjonsdottir, all the way from Iceland, where they have the opportunity both on the financial front and the freedom of information front to make a huge difference in the world. That's why we had her on the show. We'll see you. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.